الله أكبر الله
Haji.
Welcome to the Shooting Bench on Survival Circle Radio Network, keeping you informed on guns, news, politics, guns, survival, preparedness, and guns. The tyrant is holding our country hostage, and our freedom is at stake. It's time to take a stand and tell the tyrant, we will not comply. Join me now in the never-ending fight against tyranny, right here on the Shooting Bench.
Some really crazy things are going on. Stand by. I have one of them actually coming in right this minute. Okay, that's too long. We'll have to read that at the break or something. Got a lot of stuff happening. For instance, I'm going to save that for a little bit. I may only do an hour tonight. I've got an early morning tomorrow. I've got to get out and go pick up a backhoe and go do some stuff extra early in the morning. So I may have to crap out on you just a little bit early. So we'll see how it goes here this evening. But now, before I get too carried away here with all things worldly, let's check, and if I can get my crystal ball to fire up, let's check and see what's going on in the chat room. Do we have anybody in the chat room? Yeah, Rolex, it is a little sparse there. Wow. It's a good thing we've still got all of our podcast listeners and live stream listeners and everything, because the chat room ain't cutting it. Well, that's okay. All right. Now then, a couple things. This is probably going to be just about the last thing that we're going to hear. There may be one or two others as she drifts off into the sunset, and that's Kathy, what's her name? What was her name? Griffin? Pretty much officially done. She had her only major endorsement deal. Can you believe there's a real thing called Squatty Potty? Yeah, it's a real thing. And she was getting paid there to endorse that. Her last show, her last performing gig was canceled. She had about six or eight lined up. All of them have turned her off. CNN has got rid of her. Squatty Potty's got rid of her. And she's going to be flipping burgers here pretty quick. She's done. So we're not going to have to worry about her too much more. I've got one here I'm going to try to get Amy to cover next week, if at all possible. Here's a good story, and I say this, and I don't want anyone to think anything of this, because it just seems a little backwards to me. Hold on, maybe it's not backwards. Oh, no, never mind. Okay, this guy in Oklahoma was trying to drown his twin 3-month-old children. Actually, they were stepchildren. They were his wife's kids. And a 12-year-old girl ran from the house and went and told a neighbor. The neighbor went to the home armed with a handgun and shot the guy twice after he seen him hold the babies underwater in a bathtub. Now, I don't know what's going to come. So far, there's no charges filed. I would have done the same thing, but I just wonder if there's going to be any repercussions at all for him entering the home. I mean, I doubt if the bathtub was out in the yard. So, I think he did the right thing, and apparently there's been no charges filed. I'm just wondering if some hot rod lawyer is going to get a hold of this for the family and say that the guy, had no business, no right, no authorization, was trespassing to go into the home. I don't know if that's a legitimate concern or not, but in this day and age, you never know. So we'll see. I do have another story. I do try to keep up on some of these stories when I tell you that I'll check on it later and see if I hear anything, I'll share it with you. And there's a good example of that right here. Give me just a second. I really do try to keep up with some of these. Okay, here it is. We talked about this story, this deal here back in November of 2015, just about the time that we were abandoning ship there from once we took over from Just Measures, right in that same time frame there. And if you'll remember, there was a father and a son that got in an argument over biscuits and gravy. Well, the father wound up shooting the son, killing him. And he was taken to the hospital, and then he was pronounced dead during surgery. So And we talked about this, and we never did really have the whole facts. So now we have a brand new development on this. And, yeah, that's right, Doc. We have a brand new development here. He was sentenced to probation only for the fatal shooting of his son. Okay, that sounds bad that they were fighting over biscuits and gravy. However, there was a voluntary manslaughter charge was dropped after a while. He accepted this plea deal, and he was sentenced to 2 years probation for reckless homicide. And apparently the son had some problems, had some mental problems. He was a bully, and they got in an argument over biscuits and gravy. Now, obviously, if the father did not have mental problems and wasn't a bully, then, you know, maybe he should have just backed off. You know, he shouldn't have been arguing over biscuits and gravy with the knew somebody was a bully to start with or was having mental health issues. But the guy's sister, the kid's sister, the kid that got killed, his sister said, "This has gone on for a long time. We're so tired of this. He's always beating on us." So the first story didn't mention any of that. When the first time was nothing more than the dad shot him over an argument over biscuits and gravy. And now we're finding out there's a whole lot more to that. According to the sister, the kid has been diagnosed with bipolar disorder as well as anxiety and depression. Okay, sad thing. Yeah, Doc, I think I probably would shoot someone over biscuits and gravy. If it's Amy's biscuits and gravy, yeah, I think I probably would. Grits, I can do with or without them. They're okay, and I do try to eat them to be most congenial while I'm down south, but I don't go out of my way to find them up here. Anyway, that's said the argument that led to the killing started when the dad sent his daughter out to buy breakfast platters for the family. When she came back, the brother was upset because he only got one, but he wanted two. He threw something at their cousin, then his father jumped in to defend the cousin. The father and son started to argue. The argument escalated until it ended with two gunshots. The daughter said she heard her brother say, "Dad, you shot me." You know, regardless of the circumstances, that would still be pretty tough. I would think it would be anyway. I'm sure under maybe certain types of circumstances, maybe it wouldn't be such an issue. But police said they were informed while on their way to the residence that the father was the shooter and the son was a victim. They were told he would not resist arrest. No one else in the house showed signs of physical injury, and there weren't any signs of a struggle. So anyway, just thought I'd throw it in. And mostly I just want to throw it in here because I do keep track of some of these stories. I really do try to watch for them. Sometimes it's difficult, and sometimes they don't ever show up again. So we'll do the best we can. Okay. I don't know if you guys have seen the latest news about Mad Dog Mattis here. Apparently he is rolling back some of Obama's doings here about letting transgenders serve in the military. He hasn't completely squashed the idea yet. I mean, I know he wants to and probably would if he didn't think there'd be some terrible repercussions of it. But it is on hold for the time being. They're looking at the expense of having to accommodate these people and whatnot, and that's a justifiable concern. But my concern is mission readiness. You know, that was always a problem when they were talking about letting women serve in combat roles. How is it going to affect the men that are out there fighting? Has nothing to do with whether the woman can do the job. It has everything to do with, are the men going to perform their job the same way, in the same manner, just as effective? And would they do that if they're fighting beside a bunch of transgender people, things? So I am not remotely sympathetic to this issue, just like I'm not sympathetic to a lot of issues that some people are. This one I am absolutely not. It is against nature. It is not right. It's absolutely not normal. And to even consider making special accommodations for these people to join the military, that is insane to me. It is absolutely insane. I don't know what else I can say about it. And I'm sure that Mad Dog is a mad dog about this. I bet he's trying to figure out a way to just nip this in the bud before it gets any further out of hand than it already has. So that's another one we'll definitely try to keep up on. That which that one will be big news. It won't be hard to keep track of, I'm sure. One other thing I forgot to mention about Kathy Griffin. Sorry, despicable thing that she is. Did you hear about her? This was back in 2009. In 2009, most of us didn't even know who Kathy Griffin was. I didn't know who she was until a week ago. Never heard of her. If I ever did, it didn't make any impression on me. So, I don't doubt that, Doc. I wondered about that. Like I said, this was a long time ago. It was, 7-8 years ago? During this time, I guess she thinks that being a disgusting, despicable, evil little snot, I just don't want so bad to say other things, but I won't, because I know we have women listening out there, and kids. She said on Twitter, on the 28th of October, 2009, she said, "Vegas, this Friday night, two shows at Mandalay Bay. Oh, Palin, you're going down so hard. You'd better just stay in Wasilla with your retarded baby." Well, I'll let y'all ponder on that and see. Evidently, the people have spoken here. Mark Dice. I love Mark Dice. He's got some neat things on YouTube. He said, "Kathy Griffin, you are a servant of Satan. Kathy Isis Griffin." Another guy said, "You must have a cruel, dark heart that's grown cold to make fun of a baby with Down syndrome. Down syndrome children are so sweet, precious, and innocent. I'll never understand treating them cruelly or mocking them." I mean, there's just lots of, there's no sympathy for her here. There's a recent one here just a couple of days ago after seeing this story. She said, "I had no idea she was like this. I was almost feeling sorry for her, but I got over it." So, there you have it. The Chaz Bono Battalion, huh? Yeah. Okay. Well, hang on a second. There we go. All right, I had to jump ahead to grab that one, so let me get caught back up here. All right, there we go. There, you know, there's a neat deal coming out here on bulletproof vest, ballistic vest, armor, body armor. There's an Air Force cadet here. I think she's 21 years old, and she went up to the Air Force Academy Assistant Professor and had this idea. And he was a little skeptical, and rightfully so. What this idea she has is, have y'all ever messed with corn starch and water? How weird is corn starch and water? She has come up with body armor here that kind of incorporates that same concept there a little bit. Still has Kevlar, just not nearly as much. It's lighter, and somehow they've incorporated this rather fluid substance in there with the fabric and made this very, very light, comfortable vest that seems to work very well. The guy, this assistant professor, was quite skeptical about it. He said, I'm not really sure this is going to work. The body armor industry is a multi-billion dollar industry. Well, that doesn't mean that the people can't come up with new ideas. So her idea was to combine this anti-ballistic fabric, Kevlar or something similar, with what's known as a sheer thickening fluid to create a less heavy material to use in body armor. She had demonstrated this to the guy by putting water and cornstarch in a container and asking him to jam his finger into it. You know, you can stand on there, you can push slowly, and your finger will go right in. You want to stand back and punch it or run, literally with your body, run across a pool full of it. I've seen it done. You won't sink. But if you just want to stand there, down you go. So, anyway, that'll be interesting to see what comes of that. I don't know how soon it will take place. If it works as well as she says it does, then I would think that they would jump all over this, and there will be oodles and gobs of surplus body armor on the market right now. You combine something like this, even if this just does, level 2 body armor, that will be something that cops and businessmen and the everyday Joe can wear under a shirt. And I've got some level 2 body armor, and it's doable. It's a little warmer and a little heavier than I want to wear unless I really feel like there's a threat, a reason to. But this stuff sounds like just kind of a heavier t-shirt sort of deal here. Anyway, that's one we'll definitely keep an eye on. The Wounded Warriors have struck again. Remember back in 2012, early in 2012, I think it was. It was early 2012. With Just Measures, we all got together and we had this marathon going. And would you call it a marathon? It was a thon of some kind. And I stayed up for, I don't remember, 20-something hours, or more. That was about the time that Minnie bought the recipe for my salsa for $45. And we donated all the money we got from the auctions and all that. We gathered almost $13,000 for the Wounded Warrior Project. And then we found out the rest of the story. Wounded Warriors is anti-gun. They are corrupt as hell. The CEO back, I don't remember what year it was, but it was between now and then, sometime 2 or 3 years ago, found out he was making $423,000 a year. The money that they were using was somewhere in the vicinity of 10 cents on the dollar that they used to help Wounded Warriors. Everything else was used for salaries, for marketing, and that kind of stuff. So, well, they got in a lot of trouble for that. The veterans and Wounded Warriors were very upset when they found out about this. I think they were probably more upset about the anti-gun thing than they were about the fact that they were wasting so much money. Embezzlement and corruption. So they got rid of some people and changed leadership. So things got a little bit better and still had a hell of a stigma to overcome there, reputation to overcome. Well, it's gotten just as bad again here where, if any of you know who Katy Perry is, Katy Perry is a, they call her a music artist. I'm not so sure about that, but anyway, she's in the music industry. And she is all for, she says, I'm so interested in you guys and excited to become an ally and partner. Well, she's all for, you know, no borders, no barriers, let's coexist. And the veterans are not liking that at all. So, a little bit, I'll worry about it later. Veterans are not liking that, so I think that that's definitely not helping the Wounded Warrior Project at all. So, there you go. There's a little store in Nashville, Tennessee. It's called, Lewis Country Store, I believe, or something like that. And see if I can find it here. Yeah, Lewis Country Store. They put up a sign, you know, like Southwest Shooting Authority used to put up signs. Well, they put up a sign that really raised some eyebrows here, and it was directly related to Kathy Griffin's deal here. It said, and I have to wonder, I mean, I don't care, but I have to wonder if this is not a direct threat and if they will get away with this. It says $50,000 reward for Kathy Griffin's head delivered. That's pretty stiff, if you ask me. Is it wrong for them to do this? No, probably they have their First Amendment right to express that, but if somebody was to actually take them up on that, and bring her head in or call and say they did or whatever, what do you think that would be the repercussions there? So anyway, they're no stranger to this. They're a lot like Southwest Shooting Authority. They had a back in when was it? Hold on here. It was previously. It was also back in maybe 2005. Hang on, let my crystal ball catch up here, and we'll find out. Well, I'm not sure when it was. Anyway, it wasn't 2005. No, heck no. It was only just a few months ago. Just be about election time somewhere in there. And they put up a sign that said, Trump just said it. Bill Clinton did it. The only stuff that Trump ever grabbed was Paul Ryan. You can fill in the lines there, fill in the blanks. Well, Shell Oil heard about that. They were a Shell gas station, and Shell didn't care for it much. They thought about it, and Shell dropped them. They pulled out. They said, you take down your signs and gather up all your paraphernalia. You are no longer a Shell dealer. As mentioned previously, independent wholesalers must adhere to branding guidelines set forth in our licensing agreements. When there are violations, we ask that they are addressed. Continued violations could result in additional actions taken, including potential debranding of the site. We can confirm that Lewis Country Store, located on Old Hickory Boulevard and Ashland City Highway in Northwest Davidson County, is no longer part of the Shell branded network. As one might imagine, the Lewis family is handling this really well, posting signs on our gas pumps that read, "Due to our refusal to remove our pro-Trump signs, Shell has debranded us.
We will not be threatened or intimidated. Our doors will remain open. Vote Trump on November 8th so this does not happen to you. They've also updated the digital sign. It's read, is debranding like deleting? Never forget Benghazi. All deplorables must vote November 8th. Good for them. That's how you stand. Lavoie would be proud of them. According to Fox 17, the station is rapidly running out of gas and no longer has functioning credit card machines, but given the Lewis family's propensity for getting themselves out of scrapes over the years, we have no doubt that they'll end up just fine. So, I like it. Let's see here. You know what? It's about break time. So, look, if you guys get to a point where you are able and you can help us out a little bit, we've got a thing up on the top right-hand corner of the chat room there to donate, or you can go to PayPal and use the email address theshootingbench@live.com and pitch in a little bit here to help with some of the expenses from time to time. A couple of months ago we got a little boost and that helped a little bit, so we appreciate that when you're able to do that. Okay. Hold on just a minute here. And
I'll be back.
On the Chisholm Trail, it was midnight. Carmelo was strong on his mind. Because of the life he had chosen, Carmela had left him behind. Too long he'd been El Bandito. Carmela had left him alone. But today someone brought a message. She'd been seen in old San Antonio. Cross the Brazos at Waco. Ride hard and I'll make it by dawn. Cross the Brazos at Waco. I'm safe when I reach San Antonio. He glanced back over his shoulder. The posse was nowhere in sight. He'd sent for Carmela to meet him on the banks of the Brazos tonight. She was waiting and he kept the promise he had made such a long time ago. As he dropped the guns that she hated in the muddy Brazos below. Cross the Brazos at Waco, ride hard and I'll make it by dawn. Cross the Brazos at Waco, I'll walk straight in old San Antonio. Then the night came alive with gunfire. He knew that at last it'd been found. As the Rangers' badge showed brightly, El Bandito lay on the ground. Carmela knew he was dying, that all of her dreams were in vain. As she kissed his lips for the last time, she heard him whisper again. Cross the Brazos at Waco, ride hard and I'll make it by dawn. Cross the Brazos at Waco, I'm safe when I reach San Antonio. I'm safe when I reach San Antonio.
Saturday morning, serials chapters 1 through 15. Fly paper, penny loafers, Lucky Strike green. Flat tops, sock tops, Studebaker, Baker, Pepsi, please. Do you remember these? Cigar bands on your hand, your daddy's socks roll down. Sticks, no plugs, and aviator caps with flaps that button down. Movie stars on Dixie cup tops and knickers to your knees. Do you remember these? The Hip Parade, Great Truade, the Sadie Hawkins dance. Pedal pushers, ducktail hair, and pegging your pants. Howdy doody, tooty fruity, the seam up the back of her hose. Do you remember those?
James Dean, he was keen, Sunday movies were taboo. The senior prom, Judy's mom, rock and roll was new. Cracker Jack Price, stars in your eyes, ask daddy for the keys. Do you remember these?
The boogeyman, lemonade standing, taking your tonsils out. Bend and burn and wait your turn, and four foul balls you're out. Cigarette loads and secret codes and saving lucky stars. Can you remember back that far?
To boat neck shirts and fender skirts and crinoline petticoats. Mom's word and a dirty bird and a double root beer float. Moon hug caps and loud heel taps, and he's a real gone cat. Do you remember that?
Dancing clothes, a little more on jokes, and cooties in her hair. Captain Midnight, Ovaltine, and the whip at the county fair. Charles Atlas course, Roy Rogers horse, and only the shadow knows. Do you remember those?
Gable's charm, frog in your arm, loud mufflers, pitching woo. Going steady, Veronica and Betty, white bucks and blue suede shoes. Knock, knock jokes, who's there? Dewey.
Dewey who?
Dewey, remember these? Yes, we do. Ah, Dewey, do we remember these?
Welcome back to another segment of The Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network. Okay, we're back. Talking to Amy, she was a little astounded here. She didn't know that London's mayor is a Muslim. And I got to looking into this a little bit, and there are lots, when I say lots, I mean many, many, like tons of Muslims in key positions in England alone. In education, there's over 29 offices filled. These are university professors, associate professors, head of geography, honorary lecturer, science writer, blah, blah, blah. There's 29 of them. Director of the Muslim Education Trust, professor emeritus. There's just oodles and gobs of them here. And in some of the other, I was going to, I can't really count all of them, because I get into business and finance. We get into restaurateurs, different entrepreneurs,
former chief executive officer of Private Healthcare Partnership. Let's see, business and finance, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 40. Looks like 43. Okay, in entertainment, I'm not even going to try to count them. There are, it looks to be, I don't know, 150, 200, I don't know, a bunch. But let's look here at in journalism and media, bunches and bunches and bunches. Law and justice. Here, judges. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 judges. These are district judges. Most of them are district judges, as a matter of fact. Retired judge, appointed as circuit judge. And Queen's Counsels. Really? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Let me look down here before I start counting all these. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31. Looks like there's 31 Queen's Councils. Other, it says. Solicitors, London-based lawyers, barristers, so on and so forth. Probably 10, 15 more. Literature and arts, military and police. Now that's interesting. We have 1, 2, 3, 4. We only have 5 in there. That's good. High-ranking British police officer in London's Metropolitan Police Service. Here's one, served as a British recruit in the First World War, an officer in the Second World War, first Muslim to become a general in the British Army. Okay, well, that's not current, so. Senior Royal Navy officer, the highest ranking member of the British Armed Forces from an ethnic minority. Soldier who was killed in action, senior police officer. There's politics. Not sure what MP stands for here. It's not military police. I guess it stands for Member of Parliament. And there are quite a few, probably 20. Peers, not sure what. Anyway, members of European Parliament, there are lots of members of Scottish Parliament, members of the Welsh Assembly, mayors, here we go. Mayors, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Seven mayors are Muslim in England. We have the mayor of London. We have the mayor of London Borough of Tower Hamlets, whatever that is. Former Lord Mayor of Bradford. Community activist, local independent politician, became the first directly elected mayor of Tower Hamlets in 2010. And so on and so forth. So, with all of that, I have to wonder with the hundreds of thousands or millions that they've allowed into their country, if any of them happen to be arrested and taken in, what kind of a trial are they going to get? What kind of charges, what kind of judgment is going to happen with all these Muslim judges and everything in here? If the police, the few that are armed, that's another thing Amy was incredulous about. What, the cops aren't even armed? Nope. There's a few, but overwhelmingly, no. Not in England. Ireland, yes. England, no.
So what would happen if one of the armed cops shot and killed one of these guys? What's going to happen? I fear that England is on its way to being lost. And I don't know how many times I've mentioned this. I feel that it's a timely topic right now. Let me stop right there just for a second. So I see Minnie has posted something here I want to address. Minnie, you say you're looking at web belts. Let me suggest to you, they're a little expensive, but get one from the Wilderness here in Arizona or from 5-Eleven. Now, if you get one from 5-Eleven, 5-Eleven also makes some with plastic buckles. Those plastic buckles are not all bad. With modern-day plastic, they're tough, and they'll last you a long, long time. However, if you want one that'll last you for many years, get one from the Wilderness. They're about $45. The buckle is heavy steel, hardened steel. It works and is designed for emergency rappelling. I've been wearing one every single day since about 2005. And that is a weapon that you can have on you all the time. If you don't have a bunch of other stuff hanging on your belt, then let's say, for instance, you're flying. You're not on your broom, but on somebody's airplane. And you, of course, you're not going to be wearing a gun belt and all that, or a holster and all that kind of stuff on the airplane, but they do allow you to take that belt on. I've taken that belt on flights many times. I wouldn't be surprised if they stopped that at some point. But so far, I've not had any problem with that. And there is a defensive weapon in itself. Wrap that belt around your hand, around your fist, leave you about a 14, 16-inch tail on there with the buckle. And I'm here to tell you that you can put a damn whooping on somebody. You get the first lick in, and you'll get the second one in, too. Great belt, heavy duty, lasts for the one that I'm wearing at this very moment is a black one from the Wilderness. And I've been wearing this one since 2005 or so, somewhere in there, maybe early 2006. I have another one in there that's brand new. I haven't worn it 10 times because I don't see any reason to get it out and even get started, because this one's still as good as it ever was. Maybe not quite as, it's well-worn. You can tell it's well-worn, but it is every bit as functional as it was the day I bought it. So if you want to put $45 in there, yeah, the instructor belts are the instructor belts. Get many if you want to get one that's a little bit lighter, then get the three-stitch one. If you want one that's heavier, now the thing is, if you're gonna wear any gear on that belt, get the five-stitch. The five-stitch is, it stands up to a heavier load. Your holster with a heavy handgun, anything else, doesn't roll the belt over. You know, it stands vertically and holds it up well. They also have the instructor belt. The instructor belts I don't like. I think it's the instructor belts that have the plastic insert in it that makes them too stiff. However, if you're going to carry, 38 pounds of stuff on your belt, the instructor belt is the way to go. It looks just like the rest of them, but in the way that I wear mine and the things that I do with it, I don't care for the instructor belt. I've had one, and I'll never get another one. But the five-stitch is somewhere in between those two. The three-stitch is fine for 90% of the people out there. The five-stitch is a little stiffer, and I carry, and I have carried, full-size Glocks, two magazines, flashlight, and all that stuff. The full-size Glock and one or two magazines every day, every single day, for, what, 12, almost 12 years? 12 years, yeah. 11 or 12 years with the same belt. Honey, that is $45 well spent right there. I've spent that much on leather belts, and they don't last 12 years if you wear them every day. Yakima Glock, if you don't have the plastic insert, then there's one level above that one then. It's the Combat Master, Combat Instructor, Combat something another. I don't remember which one has the plastic insert in it, but it sucks. I don't like it. The plastic insert is opaque. It looks like same stuff made out of milk cartons are made out of, but just a tad heavier. And they're stiff. I mean, they'll hold up anything you want to hang on. They'll hold up more than you can carry. But they are too stiff to wrap around your hand really well. And I just like the 5-stitch for mine. And the 5-stitch may be the instructor belt now that I think about it. Matter of fact, just to clear the air there, I'm going to click on that link that Minnie posted. And I'm going to go over here and look at it. They also make, kind of giving them a free endorsement here, they also make some very nice slings and stuff. Minnie, I'm sure you've already seen this. When you first click on that, the very top belt there, you can see how that buckle is on there and how it works and everything. So their basic belt, I've got one of those too. They're cheap. They're $20. And it has a plastic buckle. And I've got that put away as an additional belt in case things go south and I need something different there. Let's see. The Wilderness Money Belt, the original instructor belt. All right, let's check that out. That one is $49.95. They had a titanium instructor belt. The original instructor belt. It was, let's see, some competing belts. Checking this out to see double layer construction, heavy duty sewing, the easy fit system. I don't see that it says anything about the plastic insert. The original instructor belt developed in 1983 has been refined ever since. Very strong belt, specially designed carbon steel V-ring buckle. I don't want to have to read this whole thing for you, but just at a glance here, I don't see anything about... says the original instructor belt is designed to be a serious piece of rescue and safety equipment that you may have to bet your life on. In lab testing, the original instructor belt has withstood a minimum of 5,900 pounds of static stress without failing, to more than 8,000 pounds of static stress without failing. So that's a pretty tough belt. You can deliver a proper ass whooping with one of those. I have whooped mine off and practiced with it a little bit just in case the situation should ever arise. And I think it's a great thing to have, a great alternative, another option there anyway. All right, my internet's a little slow. Anyway, you guys can go all through that. I don't know. Maybe they don't make the one with the plastic liner anymore. I don't see it here. They used to say 3-stitch and 5-stitch and all that, but looks like they've changed their lineup a little bit. I'm going to leave this page up because I'm going to go through there and check them out, because I would seriously like to have at least one of those put back to last. You know, I mean, this one here that I've worn so much, I have not been careful with it, and it has been on my body every single day. Once in a while, or well, I should say usually, but not always, I'll wear a leather belt to church. Once in a while, I'll wear a leather belt to more of a, you know, a nicer function of some kind. But generally, I wear this one. 12 years, never failed. Okay, Yakima got cleared it up there. 3-stitch, 5-stitch, or the plastic insert on the Easy Fit Original Ones Instructor Belt. All right, there you have it. Drop-down menu to choose the stiffness you want. I really would think long and hard before you went with the plastic insert. It's too stiff. But all right. Well, there was a nice little endorsement for the Wilderness. But while we're on this subject of, I've talked about, we have Muslims in science and medicine, religion, sport, all this kind of stuff, just in England alone. And, well, I should say Great Britain, and so those little bitty countries there. I think everybody can see the potential issues coming up with that. So let's go back to what we were just talking about, the belts and long-term poop hit the fan type stuff. We've just started a series. Apparently it was a television series at one time. I don't know for sure that it was. But it's called Revolution. And some of you may have already seen it. We're just starting it. Amy and I both, we like it a lot. It's a great series. We're in the, I think we just finished the second season. And, no, we're the second disc, anyway. Yeah, we watched, 9 episodes, I think? Something like that? Somewhere in there. And, Doc, yeah, that would work, yeah. So, anyway, this show Revolution, the lights went out, they don't know why. They just turned off. There was no indication that there was an EMP. This is the entire planet Earth. And it's not just one hemisphere that I would expect, you know, from a solar event or something like that, or one country or one area from a hostile EMP detonation like North Korea or something like that. This was the entire planet. The area in the movie that we're on, the time frame that we're in now is 15 years after the blackout. And this show is exactly the way that I, of course, there's some things, obviously, that they can't reproduce on a movie. I see they're all wearing uniforms and clothes and all this stuff that ain't on. In 15 years, I don't know if they have got people out there that are making nice clothing for them or whatever. There's some things that's not exactly according to Hoyle there. But overwhelmingly, it is very, very much what I envision life being after the lights go out. In the event, or even if the lights don't go out, in the event of a major collapse, and the lights do stay on, it's a series that I would recommend that you have. Of course, it's naturally it's fiction, and you have to understand that there's fictional things in it that's not going to happen. But it's a definite brain teaser. There, I mean, it's something that will definitely get you to thinking about your friends, neighbors, and acquaintances, about your any group that you may be involved with, your own preparedness, and how long you think something like this might last. A lot of people say, yeah, an EMP is possible. However, you know, it'll only take a few weeks to get things back online. No, it won't. If this happens in a way that most of us fully expect it. They're not going to waste their time with putting this something that's only going to last a few weeks. Frankly, I think you're exceedingly optimistic to think that it's going to be over with in 5 years. I think it's pretty optimistic for 10 years. But I'm thinking at least 10, maybe 20, possibly more. And you cannot possibly save enough stuff for that period of time, for that length of time. You can't have enough water. You can't have enough ammunition. You can't have enough socks. Do what, Amy? Toothpaste, soap, shampoo, batteries, fuel. You know, all of this stuff that's going on in the first year or so, this stuff is going to start becoming pretty scarce. After 15 years, you better damn sure believe it's going to be scarce. Scarce like non-existent. Ammunition will be at such a premium that, there's not going to be any covering fire. There's not going to be any warning shots. There's not going to be any ammo used for flushing out someone. You're going to have to make every shot count, just like I did when I was a kid, when I was a bounty hunter for my dad. Made every shot count. That was bounty hunter for little varmints. That wasn't all that serious. Yeah, Amy's already. Yeah, no. So. Yeah, there's and Doc, I think that's actually should be a given right there, is a portable battery operated radio. Absolutely, we should have one or more put back. And that's one thing about the little Bofang radios, the little shortwave, little ham radios. They have a built-in FM radio transmitter that has the full range of FM frequencies that you have on your radio in your car, on your stereo in your house. So that's, you got a couple of those put back. You have not only the way to talk and listen to government channels and NOAA channels and the emergency channels around, but you also have the means to monitor FM radio. So I think that's dang sure a good idea. Extra boots and shoes. We could make a whole show about this. I don't know if we need to or not. I'd kind of like to. We've talked about it several times, but this could easily get taken off into things that maybe we'll do it anyway. Maybe there's things that people haven't thought about. It's been a long time since we've talked about 72-hour kits or long-term poop hit the fan type deal. Maybe we'll go over that here one of these days. Anyway, like I said, I think I'm only going to do an hour tonight because I've got a hard day tomorrow and it's going to start early. So I apologize for leaving you high and dry here a little early, but I should be back if good Lord willing and the creek don't rise. I'll be back Wednesday, and again for Liberty Lounge on Friday. As far as I know so far, I will be right here at home on Friday and not have gallivanting around somewhere. So if that holds true, then Liberty Lounge will be happening just like normal. Okay, I'm going to sneak on out of here, and we'll see you all Wednesday night. And I very much appreciate you all being with me. Goodbye.
Well, that wraps up another edition of The Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for The Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining me.
No explanation, no reconciliation. No, let's talk it over. Number I can call. Goodbye says it all.